Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Margaret Sutherland of the University of Glasgow. Welcome back to Radio EduTalk, Margaret.
Thank you very much, David. It's great to be back.
And over the next 15 to 20 minutes or so, we're going to be looking at entrepreneurial education. We'll maybe start to hear a bit about what we mean by that in a moment, Margaret. But just first, could you remind listeners of your background in education?
Yes, certainly. So I work here at the University of Glasgow in the School of Education, and one of the major programmes that I teach on is the Masters in Inclusive Education. Long time ago, in the mists of time, I was a primary teacher. I also was a behaviour support teacher. And for the last 20 years, actually, I've been working in higher education, but very much still my work is rooted very much in schools. And I've got a particular interest in inclusion in all learners. And my kind of real area where I've done a lot of writing and research is around the area of high ability, as we would call it in Scotland, children that are kind of doing things that you wouldn't expect given their age and stage.
That's great. Thanks, Margaret. And so can you just introduce listeners to what we mean by entrepreneurial education and then let us know how the Teacher 2020 publication came about?
Certainly. Maybe if I could start the other way around and say how the entrepreneurial project came about first and then move on to what we maybe mean by entrepreneurial education. Within universities, I'm sure you're aware that we are very much collaborating and working with colleagues in all parts of the world. And the Erasmus Plus project is a funding source, if you like. And we've been very fortunate here in the School of Education to be involved in a number of Erasmus projects. Indeed, I'm currently involved in one called eGift, where we're looking at online learning materials. But couple of years ago, myself and two colleagues, Dr. George Head and Dr. Kathy Fagan, were approached about being involved in a project looking at entrepreneurial education. And it was with a number of other institutions and schools in Spain, Italy, Romania, and the Czech Republic. And we came together as a group, as I say, some in universities in these countries, some people from schools and organisations working with young people. And we decided to develop this project around entrepreneurial education. It's a very interesting area. The history and development of entrepreneurial thinking in school education has been, certainly in Scotland, very much influenced by the kind of broad approaches taken in the wider UK, but also in relation and reacting to Scottish political and social factors. And while we were doing our project, we were able to kind of discuss some of these things and discuss and share with these people from other countries their political and social context that they were working in too. Because there's probably several ways of defining entrepreneurial education. And I think if you track through what happened in Scotland, in many ways it's been driven by Westminster initiatives, but often, as we do in Scotland, we kind of take that and make it our own. And I think if you look at a lot of the policy documents in relation to what could be understood as entrepreneurial education, even way back in 1995, the Education Industry Links in Scotland 5-18 document, a framework for action. And then we had 1997, How Good Is Our School Education Industry Links. 1999, Education Industry Links in Scotland, a national framework. And so it went on, Determined to Succeed. These will be names familiar to many of your listeners if they've been around in Scottish education for a while. A Curriculum for Excellence, of course, the curriculum review that came out. And although there are a lot of the kind of phrases there, education industry links, enterprise education, entrepreneurship education, at the same time, we were also looking at areas in Scotland around creativity, inclusion and assessment. And I think the language that we use has been influenced by many factors, but it's about supporting learners to be successful, also in addressing the capacities, of course, that we have in our curriculum, our successful learners, confident individuals, responsible citizens, and effective contributors. And I suppose as we've worked in this project, entrepreneurial mentality in education, we would argue, we would have argued this before, but also from the project too, it's not primarily about establishing a business, but it's about creating new learning approaches through which we can learn in real-life scenarios, addressing community, societal challenges, and bringing about the change and working with relevant players from all sectors, both local and global. That's perhaps quite a long answer to what seemed to be a very simple question there, David. What is entrepreneurial education? But I suppose just giving you a wee kind of potted history there of where we've been, it's more than just about establishing a business. It's this kind of way of thinking, creating new learning approaches.
So the Teacher 2020 publication, Margaret, actually gives you a few ideas, I suppose, across many areas within Europe of how entrepreneurial education is being offered or facilitated or delivered. So how did that particular publication come about, and how did you go about researching the projects?
Well, there's a kind of a format, I suppose, that many of these projects have, and the project teams met together at the start of the project. And one of the first things we did collectively across the countries was to discuss what do we mean by entrepreneurial education, because we hadn't know each other, we hadn't worked together before. We had an interest, a common interest in this thing called entrepreneurial education, and a common interest in learning and teaching. And I suppose as we first met, the first meeting was to kind of thrash out and establish what do we mean, and much of that was dependent on a country's history, where they were in their development, where they were economically. And for some countries, it was originally and certainly initially, their idea was that it was about business. And whilst we would agree it is about that, for us it was about a much broader and a much wider thing. And so we spent the first bit of time kind of deciding what is this. And we were very clear that whatever happened had to be relevant for each country. And so it wasn't about coming up with one idea of here's a thing that you could do in your school that would be you doing entrepreneurial education. It very much had to fit the country and the culture and the context and the understanding of entrepreneurial education that was around in the time and in the context. And so very much this was about looking at the research around entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial learning and entrepreneurial education, but also actually allowing the practice to be the starting point, rather than making the theory the starting point, but having the practice the starting point. So it was very much a clear link between the practice and the theory, with the two things coming together to kind of move the idea forward. So that was kind of the initial and stages, and then each of the countries went away off to say, right, now we've got some of these basic ideas, let's work with these in the settings and context that we find ourselves in. And across the 3 years of the project, there was kind of meeting points. There was a meeting, the people came here to Glasgow for one of the meetings, we were in Romania, and so on.
And we see, I think that comes through in the kind of Scottish context of the projects. We see projects kind of rooted in social justice, inclusion, you know, great opportunities for creativity. So can you go on, Margaret, just to give us a flavour of some of the projects that you highlighted? I think the micro-society one was one that particularly stood out for me.
Yes. Well, as I say, we came back and there's two projects there. There was some initial work that we were already doing here in Scotland around initially about high ability, but it was involving more than just high label pupils. And so we looked at some of that, and I think from memory that should be available on the Teacher 2020 website. But we came back, and the two examples in the actual document report, if you like, that we produced at the end, both of these teachers were at the time studying here with us at Glasgow. And so these were teachers who were thinking about big issues, who were already thinking and learning and researching and looking at ideas of pedagogy, looking at ideas of social justice, and then in a kind of academic sense, if you like. But they were also very much, as our courses here would, very much saying, OK, that's great, but what does that mean for practice, but bringing these together? And so they were developing, as they would be doing anyway, developing ideas within their classroom. And the micro-society one that you mentioned, and very, it's not a new idea. It was around and developed actually in, from the 1960s, developed in the USA. And it's this kind of idea of young people wanting to make meaning of their lives. And it was conceived by somebody called George H. Richmond, who was a painter, a poet, an author, and an educator. And it was very much, as I say, this idea of young people learning from real life situations in order to better understand real life. And so one of the teachers, Susie Marshall, who actually now works here part-time with us here in the University of Glasgow, she, in the class she was in at the time, looked at this and knew about this idea of micro-society. And it was a 10-week programme for 9- and 10-year-olds that she developed, getting them to think about society, how society works, what do you need to make to help society to work, and indeed the children creating their own society within the classroom. And there is an element in terms of business. It was partly, this was about buying and selling goods and services, and to perform their duties within this notion of civil service or government. So they set up institutions that were needed by society. It was modelled on the current models that we have around government, civil services and business, but it was getting them to think deeply about how these systems, if you like, work in ways that help people. And so they created their own society. They called it Caton. They came up with their own currency, and I'll go on to say a bit more about that. But they also very much they started with a story. Narrative is a hugely powerful driver, I think, in all sorts of ways. And it started with this idea of a story. And they established that there were limited resources, and so there was a need for values and priorities and how they were going to use these limited resources. And that very much shaped the kind of way that they thought about the society that they were going to create. It was very much done on a democratic basis. They did had an activity to understand the concept of currency. The things they had to think about were... the items that they were talking about was, would everyone want this? Would it, could it be saved for use later? Could it be divided into smaller units? And then they had to rank the items in order of suitability for use as a currency. And they came up with a currency called clanks. And they had a little diagram for what that then looked like. They then thought about roles within society. They thought about the idea of tax, paying your taxes, introducing the idea that if they paid taxes, they could then pay for civil servants. And then they discussed things like, well, how many civil servants does a society need? They set up institutions. They had a president, a banker, a tax inspector. And then they also thought about salaries that these people should get. They drew up job descriptions. So if I give you some examples from the president's job description, it was to make the role was to make decisions that people needed help with, introduce the visitors to Caton, sort out crime, to be the face of Caton, to make sure everyone's happy, to talk to the tax inspector about tax decisions, oversee the running of the business, and to consult with people when appropriate. They had a similar roles for the banker and so on. They also set up a profit and loss sheet. They realised it was going to be important to know how they were doing with their finances. And so they also came to drawing up a business plan about products, markets, costs, competition, unique selling points. So very much, as you can see, mirroring what is happening in society, but getting them to think very, very deeply about these things. And they came up with products they thought people might buy, top cards, where you could exchange top cards of different cars and things, also paperweights, doorstops, so very practical ideas. The pitch here was, I think my products are good ideas because they're useful and handy around the house. And then they had to go about putting forward their plans for this, and then trading started. Big questions, they dealt with big philosophical questions. So when it came to tax, they were asking questions like, should you pay more tax if your business earns more money? They had to discuss these ideas. and then they set up profit and loss sheets. So it was a very interesting way, a way that allowed the teacher to get children to really engage in the big ideas that we're grappling with as adults, let's be honest, in our society, but also using the ideas and the pedagogy behind this very much about getting children to make decisions, helping children to make decisions, letting children to a certain extent be autonomous learners, and to shape and take forward their own learning. So it was a very interesting, there was a number of other projects. That same class also had a project about a hamster, and they all wanted a class, a pet hamster, and they had to convince the school and the teacher that this was a good idea. And interestingly, at the end of that, their success criteria was that 2 years on, Bruno the hamster was still alive. It was a successful project.
It's fascinating, Margaret. Sorry, please continue.
That kind of is a very, obviously it was a much longer thing than just a few minutes talking about But very much, I suppose, very much child-centred, very much building on what the pupils knew themselves, building on prior learning, helping them to plan, what do we want to learn, and engaging, as I say, with these big ideas. And the hamster one, for example, was very much about a real-life problem. The children wanted a hamster. They thought this was a great idea. And children often do have great ideas. I have a children's choir, and we had the local MP come along one day, and having talked about all kinds of things, she asked if anybody has any questions, and one of the children said, "Yes, can you get my mum to agree that I need a hamster?" So, you know, these are important things for young people.
Yeah. I suppose there must be real learning opportunities for the teachers and the education staff, and opportunities to reflect, maybe look at interdisciplinary learning opportunities and develop their own pedagogies.
Absolutely, and that very much was what it was about. And it also allows you to see young people working in different contexts from, you know, doing their day-to-day, if you like, classroom work, and very much bringing in together these ideas of effective pedagogy. And I think entrepreneurial education for us is about this notion of pedagogy. No pedagogy in itself is inherently inclusive, and no pedagogy in itself is inherently entrepreneurial. But we do have to, one of the things we try to do certainly in our undergraduate, our initial teacher education programmes, as well as postgraduate programmes, is that, you know, much of what teachers do is really based on what they believe about education and young people and their educational values. And students and teachers, you need to work to identify what these values and beliefs are, because they can be quite unconscious. And I think that has to be kind of done on an ongoing basis. We all know that in Scotland we're required to meet the standards for registration. And part of that is about values. And demonstrating specific values, including a commitment to social justice. So these threads, these golden threads, if you like, run through all aspects, I think, of Scottish education. And this is these projects were a way of taking that thread and making sure it is woven into our learning experiences in school. We would argue that inclusive education can't just be an add-on. It's got to be at the heart of our practice. Effective pedagogy is inclusive pedagogy, and vice versa. So very much an opportunity for teachers to really think and think about what they're doing, planning. And you'll notice that was part of the kind of review process. And when you look at the document, was about that reviewing for teachers and reflecting for teachers. And that was interesting too, because many of the teachers in some of the other countries involved, they're at a different stage of their development. The Scottish teachers had done quite a lot of thinking around this kind of idea of pedagogy. Some of the other teachers hadn't thought so much about that. So it was great to help teachers to really reflect on what they were doing and why they were doing it.
And I wonder to what extent entrepreneurial education features within initial teacher education, either at the University of Glasgow or more widely across Scotland.
Well, I think it does. I think in a Scottish context, the Teaching and Learning Research Programme, the largest investment in education research. There was 700 researchers, 70 projects. At the end of that, between 2000 and 2011 or so, there was 10 evidence-informed pedagogic principles. And it's interesting that four of them, I think, really link well to entrepreneurial education. Effective pedagogy equips learners for life in its broadest sense. Effective pedagogy promotes the active engagement of the learner. Effective pedagogy fosters both individual and social processes and outcomes. And effective pedagogy recognises the significance of informal learning. And I think as we have sought to think about pedagogy within both undergraduate and postgraduate programmes, then we need to develop teachers who are able to use a broad range of pedagogy. Things like, as you've already mentioned, David, interdisciplinary learning, collaborative learning, active learning. These are words that are, you know, been around now in Scottish education for a long time. And I think entrepreneurial teachers provide opportunities for learning in real life scenarios, addressing community and societal challenges. And I think we need to be very careful that focusing on particular things doesn't move us away from that broad range of pedagogy. Because I think by looking at the broad range about engaging in this kind of learning and teaching, we will actually also raise attainment, raise achievement, in ways that perhaps just simply focusing on one particular thing might not do for us.
And we're just coming to the end of the broadcast, Margaret. I mean, you've spoken with such enthusiasm as well as given us some real-life examples. And I just wonder if listeners want to find out more information, either about your own work or this particular project, where they would go to.
Well, the Teacher 2020 website is available at, if I give me 2 minutes till I find it, I can tell you where it's at. There's also a document. Now, I'm not sure that you're able to actually download this from the website. However, we have a copy of it here at the university, and I would be more than happy to make that available for your listeners. So if they email me at my email address, they can find that on the University of Glasgow website. And the website for our project was www.teacher2020.eu. Or if you just type in teacher2020, actually, they'll find it. And it tells you a lot more about the project. It shows you about meetings that we had and what we discussed. And there's some pictures there of people kind of getting together. And I think one of the great things about a project like this is the coming together and the learning from and with each other. Whilst there were some things Scotland had thought about, maybe in slightly more detail than some of the other countries, there were things that we learned by going to these other countries and listening and learning from each other. And I think that's these Erasmus programmes, for example, are a great opportunity for that. So we've certainly got the website there. They can contact me at the University of Glasgow. If they wish to find out any more information either about this or about anything that we do here. The project very much based our, there's a kind of a global framework for entrepreneurial education initiatives if people were interested. And if you know at all the framework for inclusive education, the Scottish Framework for Inclusive Education, you will see that it's based very much around that. Myself and George Head were involved in the inclusive framework. And we've taken that learning from that and we've applied it to this entrepreneurial education. And it's based around social justice, inclusion, legislation and policy initiatives. Because I think we have to recognise that teachers, wherever they are in the world, are working in systems. And some systems allow you to embrace some of these aspects much more easily, I think, than other systems. But lots of ideas, loads of ideas out there, loads of really good things going on and loads of good things going on in our Scottish schools. You can see that if you follow Twitter. There's some amazing things going on in schools. We just need to maybe get better at talking about that in Scotland. We're quite good at saying what's not going well. I think we need to get better at saying what is going well.
Absolutely, Margaret. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us on the show today. It's greatly appreciated and best wishes with your future work.
Thank you, not at all. It's been a pleasure as always, and good luck with sorry, Radio EduTalk. It's great that there's opportunities like this for practitioners and researchers, academics, for people to come together to talk about important things that are really going to make a difference to young people and the learning that they do in our Scottish classrooms. So thank you for your work too, David.